going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, welcome back to Pomp and Joe. Bob had TV duty calling. I hope Bob's listening in the car. Aren't you, Limits, hoping for that?
Oh, I think he is. I don't think it even needs to be a hope. It's a guarantee.
So Mike Sullivan and the Penguins part ways. Obviously a gigantic story. Limits here called me an hour before the show and told me it was breaking. And, you know, the more that I think about it and digest it, I go back to where I was at the beginning of the show. And in a lot of ways, for me, this is sort of the story of where the Penguins somewhat unintentionally have gone and where the Steelers still are. The Penguins went to the bottom of the league. Didn't mean to this year, but that's where they went. Probably not far enough, and they might go back there next year. But that's better than being in the middle, even the high-end middle. And now the Penguins have moved on from their coach. I don't care in the end how. It needed to happen, and it has happened. Good for both parties, meaning Mike Sullivan and the Penguins. The Steelers are still stuck. They're still stuck. And for me, this whole story is about two men named Mike, who arrived in Pittsburgh pretty unexpectedly and who immediately took proud and underachieving franchises to great heights. And I mean pretty much immediately. Mike Tomlin had a Super Bowl team with tons of talent that went 8-8 in Ben's final year, Cowher's final year, with Ben injured a lot of the time, at least going into the season injured. And then in his second year, won a Super Bowl. And then a couple of years later, went back for a second Super Bowl. Mike Sullivan walked in here when Sidney Crosby was probably at a low point in his Penguins career in terms of morale and production and everything else. And the Penguins just hadn't been able to get anywhere near the mountaintop again. And man, it was depressing. And he immediately executed a dramatic turnaround and won consecutive Stanley Cups. So between them, these two men named Mike won 3 championships and almost 4. When you look at the Steelers getting back to the Super Bowl and losing a very tight game to Green Bay, they were incredible revelations, both of them. Nobody really knew that much about Mike Tomlin when he was hired. And then Mike Sullivan was like, well, he used to be a player in the league, but they're really going to bring up the Wilkes-Barre coach to coach this team? Both of them inherited teams with lots of star power that had been underachieving, and both of them won. And forevermore will be remembered as champions in Pittsburgh, or at least should be remembered as champions here. But then both of them sort of followed a similar script in that when the winning stopped, man, it just never came back, and it only got worse. For Mike Sullivan, that meant four consecutive first-round exits followed by three non-playoff years. 7 years of total drought. Seven. That's more than most coaches spend with their team in any sport. That's an eternity in pro sports. And finally, mercifully, for whatever reason, and maybe both sides were thinking about it, maybe Sullivan did have a list of demands or, you know, things that he didn't like. And maybe Kyle Dubas is telling the truth when he said, I started thinking about this during the season. He was ready too. Mercifully, they parted ways. Good for Mike Sullivan. Good for the Penguins. Everybody lives. Everybody has a chance to prosper. Scotty Bowman parted ways with the Canadiens and the Sabres and the Penguins. And he was fine. He did pretty well in Detroit. Maybe the greatest NHL coach of all time. Definitely the greatest NHL coach. Bill Belichick, maybe the greatest football coach who ever lived. There was a parting of the ways in New England. People move on. Somebody should tell Art Rooney II that this happens, because they're the ones that are stuck here. And both these guys named Mike earned themselves many years of mediocrity, high-end mediocrity, not getting anywhere near where they wanted to go, underachieving because they won at first. They earned that. But there comes a time where it needs to end. I don't know how many coaching stories there have ever been where somebody arrives somewhere, wins big right away, goes into a nearly decade-long drought and wins big again. It just doesn't happen that way. It wasn't going to happen here for Mike Sullivan. That was obvious by now. So good for both parties. I don't think it's going to happen with Mike Tomlin. I thought that the Ravens playoff game was an obvious bottom for both sides to mercifully move on. And I thought that the Bears calling the Steelers for a trade for Mike Tomlin was the perfect getaway. Just like whatever happened here with the Penguins was perfect for both sides. Love Mike Sullivan, most accomplished coach in Penguins history. I wish him nothing but the best, and he'll forever be remembered for bringing two more championships here in the Sidney Crosby era. But it was time to go, and that's okay. I hope he does great. He's a really good coach. He wasn't the right coach here anymore. He can name his price. Mike Tomlin could have done the same. It was a perfect parting spot. And Art didn't even listen, reportedly, to what the Bears had to say. Wanted no part of it. Treated them like a telemarketer. And so now we're going to come back and do it again? Try it again? See if after nearly a decade of being, well, put it this way, nearly a decade of not even being competitive in a single playoff game, we're going to keep doing this. We're going to stay together for the kids here. Mike Tomlin would be highly coveted out there. I want this for Mike Tomlin as much as for the Steelers. Could have gone to the Bears. In a trade, the Steelers could have recouped assets maybe toward the end of getting a franchise quarterback. I don't think it's going to work. Maybe I'll be wrong. But again, it's been almost a decade and they haven't been competitive in one playoff game. And I don't know what Art's fear has been about. I mean, it's gotten to the point where it feels a little bit crazy. The Steelers 2 years ago, after Mike Tomlin went all in on a franchise quarterback and an offensive coordinator that he doubled down on repeatedly, after that blew up on Mike Tomlin, the new coordinator and the new quarterback, there were no repercussions for him. In fact, it was the exact opposite. He was rewarded after the firing of Canada and the parting of ways with Pickett. He was rewarded with a longer than usual extension and a nice raise that made him one of the top five highest paid coaches in North American sports. It feels like Art has a desperate fear of the Steelers turning back into what they were before Chuck Knoll arrived, which was a laughingstock, really, right? They didn't win a single playoff game in their entire existence until 1972. Somebody's got to tell him it's okay. In fact, it'll be great for Mike and potentially great for you. It felt like the Ravens game was an obvious bottom, only it wasn't. So here we are again. It feels to me like the Penguins have gotten to a place, however they got here, that the Steelers should want to be. 412-928-9370. We'll all live to tell about it if you part ways with a great coach. In fact, it may be best for him and for you. I'm happy for Mike Sullivan. He doesn't have to watch Erik Karlsson play anymore. For one, and if he did go to the Penguins with a list of non-negotiable demands, that would have been number one on my list. Hey, Kyle, if 65 is here, I'm not. How's that? This idea or this feeling that it feels like the Steelers cling to that, oh my God, what would we risk by moving on from our coach? I don't know. Maybe something better. Maybe. Use your coach's own words about not living in your fears. And not, I had never said prior to the end of this season that I felt like the Steelers needed to move on from Mike Tomlin. But that Ravens game just felt like such an obvious rock bottom. And then the Bears called about a trade. They would have gotten, for once, a coach with a proven track record, a really good coach. Just not the right coach here anymore. And Art didn't even listen. 412-928-9370. Do you have some more Dubas clips of Limitless Wonder? If you do, I'd love to hear them. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. It just feels like staying together for the kids. Sometimes it's okay if everybody goes out and seeks happiness. It really is. It's good for them. It's good for everybody. What do you got?
And on Dubas, with this decision, I do think it's the right one. It could have been done last year. I thought this year, I know we had a difference of opinion on what this team was going to look like. I didn't think they were going to make the playoffs. I know you said that they were pretty much built for it.
Oh, I didn't predict them to make the playoffs. I held them to a standard of making the playoffs.
Yeah, and yes. I basically have, you know, thought that it's all fallen under deaf ears. Like, this team is just not built for that anymore. Behind these aging veterans, and this just had to happen. Sullivan did a great
job.
Actually,
maybe I did predict them make the playoffs now that I think about it. Well, why didn't you say that 2 seconds ago when I said I didn't?
Because I didn't want to be too harsh at you. Maybe I should have.
I love that.
Just like I was told by a bunch of people, I should have been a lot more harsher on Jackson Dart not being selected by the Steelers. Yeah, but that's a topic for another time.
Send Ben a message then. Call up football and the podcaster. I'll give you Jack Ham's number. Send him a text message. Because they were high on Jackson Dart, too.
Yes.
I held this team to a certain standard, and I didn't think they should get the benefit of low expectations when they were throwing $54 million at Ryan Graves, Tristan Jarry, and Erik Karlsson when they had a forward group that began with Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Ricard Raquel, Brian Rust, and all the guys they brought in 2 years under Dubas to fill out the bottom six, or a defense group that began with Chris Letang, $10 million Erik Karlsson, Marcus Pettersson at the beginning of the year, and $27 million Ryan Graves. Silly me, I thought that team should be held to a high standard. Well, that's one of the reasons the coach is gone.
And the belief in Tristan Jarry, which a lot of it was Mike Sullivan, is one reason why I didn't think they were going to be much of anything this year. I have been a huge Tristan Jarry, you know, truther, I guess. Definitely not an apologist. I've been the complete opposite of that.
Who hasn't been? He's been
I've been on this train for a long time with Tristan Jarry, and eventually the train was about to crash, and it ultimately did, I think, last year. So I predicted, I saw it coming, but regardless, Dubas discussed that he thought about moving on from Sullivan during the season and what kind of went into his ultimate decision with that.
I talked to him every day throughout the year and worked together every day throughout the year. And there were times throughout the year where I started to think that it may just be time for a number of reasons. It's a lot to ask of somebody. When they've done such a long and successful job here, to be managing that and be continuing to transition the team through. And as I said, it just, if you go back and look, like I've off the top of my head, I think, I don't know that there's a coach in the NHL that's done that. Maybe you could point to Lindy Ruff, late 90s, Sabres, rebuild, and then, but then you come out of the lockout in a different system. Salary cap era, and their rebuild efforts came to fruition at that same time. Otherwise, it just doesn't really exist, and I think in the 2 years I started to see why that is. It's just very difficult.
Wait, did I hear the R word from Kyle Dubas? There?
Rebuild?
So they've rebuilt? That's interesting.
Would you like to hear it again?
No, if you want to just bring up that word. You could have fooled me. I don't know. I thought Mike Sullivan was given a lot of resources these past 2 years. I mean, my God, when Dubas came in 2 years ago, he started throwing money around and had a team that I think he thought he was going to surprise people with. He certainly spent money and brought in a lot of names. He brought in... Erik Karlsson, the reigning Norris Trophy winner, for one. Again, he spent $27 million on Ryan Graves, which was a fireable offense, at the very least, for whoever told him Ryan Graves was a good idea. And he also, which people have forgotten about in his first year, tried to rebuild the bottom six by throwing money and making trades. He brought in Lars Eller. He brought in Riley Smith, right? Nieto, Achari. He thought he was going to win, and he didn't. I don't know. I don't know what the Penguins in some ways are doing. Are they rebuilding or are they retooling?
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, You can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Or are they trying to win? Today he talked about continuing to maximize the careers of these core players. That doesn't make sense. He's minimized the core players, the rest of their careers here, these last 2 years. There's been no maximizing going on. And he's used words like urgent and patience in the same sentence. I don't know what he's doing, but I do feel that it's encouraging, actually, that the Penguins went toward the bottom of the league against their better wishes and against what they were trying to do. Kyle Dubas had no intention of being among the bottom 7 or 8 teams in the league this year, but they got there. So good for them. Next.
Dubas also partially admitting that, this is a rebuild.
From my vantage point here, my full intention when coming into the job was that I thought it was a great opportunity to work with one of, if not the best head coaches in the league, to continue to give the team a chance to contend and then transition it through back to contention. And I think what I've learned in the 2 years is that there's a reason why it's essentially impossible and has not been done, where a coach has led a team to winning and being in contention and through a transition all the way back. There's a number of factors that play in on the relationship side with the players, with the staff, and that make it very difficult to do so.
That I'll buy, and that's well said, and I think I just said it in regard to Tomlin and Sullivan. Can anybody out there think of many situations where a guy walked into a job in pro sports, won big right away, like a championship or two, then experienced, either tough times or just not getting close to the mountaintop again for 7 or 8 years and then got back there again? Like, we're not talking mini droughts with Tomlin and Sullivan. We're talking lifetimes. I know I keep pounding this home and you're probably sick of hearing about it or phrased like this, but I think it needs to be phrased like this to drive home the point. The Steelers, it's not that they haven't won a playoff game over a course of going on 9 seasons. It's that they have failed to be competitive in a single playoff game in 8 years. So again, to drive that point home, Limits will tell you that his first conscious memory is about 6 years old. So you take 8 years and you add 6 to that, and we have people who are freshmen in high school in Western Pennsylvania who literally have no conscious memory of seeing the Steelers be competitive in a playoff game. And then the same was true with the Penguins, in that it was 7 years. 7 years? That's like longer than the average career. This just needed to end. And so it has. Next, Limits.
All right, we can
either a call or a clip.
Well, yes, let's do that.
Let's call this segment Calls and Clips.
Calls and Clips. I love it. And Rich from Forest Hills loves talking about the Penguins and wants to chime in. Here's
What's up, Rich?
Hey, good morning. Or good afternoon. I think you're spot on with your comments. I agree with almost everything you say. I like to take a little different tact. My feeling is I'm the person that coined the wrong Rooney phrase. I think the Steelers have had the wrong Rooney in place for about 5 years, and therefore the head coach. But my issue with my thing with the Penguins is they positioned themselves for Sidney Crosby, for Mario Lemieux, they're positioning themselves for McKenna next year. It's going to be gross GM malpractice if Russ and or Raquel are on this roster next year. This team is going to be competitive.
I know, but here's the thing.
Let
me just jump in. It's just not the way it was because of the lottery. Like, and I don't think, and plus, it sounds to me like some of these guys, A, are going to stay. And like, from what Dubas said around the trade deadline, he said he's going to have enormous resources in terms of money to spend this offseason. He intimated that he's going to spend money this offseason to bring in players. But even more to the point, you can't really manipulate the system anymore the way you could, for example, for Mario, because you could do everything you want and more and still not get the guy.
It's like the Pennsylvania lottery ticket logo used to be. You got to play to win. So Malkin will be done. Letang's a great, thankfully, will be done. They'll find some way to get rid of Carlson. The only person you have to satisfy here is Crosby. And it's always going to be up to Crosby what Crosby does. You know, his point per game streak may be at risk next year. But I think, you know, Penguins fans think they're going to have a team next year that's going to be competitive for the playoffs. That's just going to put them right back into the Steelers.
Well, you bring an interesting...
They're trying to get the bottom rung.
Yeah, you bring up an interesting question, and I appreciate the call, is what does this mean for Sid and for Letang? I saw Josh Yowie reminded us earlier today that Letang told him at one point he never wants to play for another coach. Like, I think Sid is here no matter what, and that'll obviously be great, and he's obviously in position. He should be able to do whatever he likes, and who knows? Maybe this does change something for him. Maybe he feels the same way. I don't think so. I think the overriding sort of theme for the rest of Sid's career is he wants to be a Penguin forever. I don't know if this would change his thinking. I doubt it. But Letang is a more interesting case for me. And I was reminded of that when Yowie put that out there today, that he had said, I don't ever want to play for another coach. I just wonder if Letang would want to go play somewhere else and go chase a championship. And, you know, it's fair to wonder, well, what would the market be for him as well? So that's something to watch this offseason. Welcome to our Clips and Caller segment. Clips and calls. Who do we have next? I'm very curious. A clip or a call?
Calls continue with Kevin wanting to chime in on the Penguins.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen, or afternoon, I guess. Hey, so a couple things, because I want to tie it back to Tomlin, some of the discussion earlier.
Yeah.
So here's the difference to me between Sully getting let go right now and the discussion we've had about Tom in the last 3 to 5 years and completely adjusted. And yeah, I agree with you in principle. Rooney's afraid he doesn't want to go back to the, you know, the 50s and the 60s, but more importantly than that, he's a lawyer, and I think he's just interested in making money, and he's making plenty of it. So as long as he's mediocre and people are still buying tickets and merchandise, he's going to keep doing what he's doing. That being said, when we were talking about letting Tomlin go, there was a long list of coaches we all wanted. Mike Vrabel, Ben Johnson, Dan Quinn, McDonald, Ryans, Callahan. That's not the conversation with Sully.
Well, just to interrupt briefly, that may have been who you wanted, but go ahead.
Yeah, so to your point, but at least there were coaches that were in the discussion that were up-and-comers and or established someplace else that everybody was interested in.
Yeah.
Nobody's having that conversation right now with Sully. And so my thing with Sully being let go is...
Wait, nobody's having what conversation?
So you guys just had the conversation this morning as far as coaches that immediately came to mind that they were going to try to bring in to replace Sully.
Right.
Or that were capable. We're talking about reaching down into the AHL to bring a coach up, which is fine, or somewhere else.
Yeah.
There's not a number of established coaches out there that are up-and-comers that are in the typical conversation in national media or anywhere else right now that we can target immediately in our heads to talk about who's going to replace Sully. That wasn't the case when we were having a discussion about replacing Tomlin. There were established coaches or established up-and-coming coaches at the NFL level that we were all referring to that we wanted to replace Tomlin. So that being said, one thing that bothers me about the conversation with Sully is Sully has responsibility in this, got it all day long. That being said, I've been saying this the last 3 to 5 years, until Tanger's gone, because I love Tanger and what he did for us. When he retires, I want him brought back for a day to do whatever we can for him to celebrate everything he did for us. When Tanger was younger and his speed can make up with his for his lack of discipline, it was great. But because of his success, his lack of discipline and what he does at the blue line, everywhere else, pinching in opportune times, etc., has been a cancer overall on the team as far as our lack of defense the last 3 to 5 years. We should have went to him and asked him to go to
Montreal. I'm not saying 3 to 5 years, and I appreciate the call. This year was tough for Letang. At times, he's been a great player. If your overall point is that Letang at times made Sullivan nuts, you're probably right. So did Malkin at times. And I think most of all, so did Carlson. And I remember writing when Carlson got here a couple of Augusts ago that the headline on one of the Penguins media clips was Mike Sullivan can't wait to, you know, to start working with Erik Karlsson. And my column was, yeah, it's August. Let's see how Mike Sullivan feels in December when Erik Karlsson is having a game where he just created 10 chances, 5 for the Penguins and 5 for the other guys. And if Mike Sullivan did indeed go to the Penguins with a list of non-negotiables, as Crowley reported, I would imagine at the top of that list might have been, are you keeping 65? Because if you are, I'm out. My overall point being there that, his overall point seemed to be on coaches and how there were all these available coaches that we all wanted if Tomlin left. There were some I wanted, some I didn't. And more to the point, with hockey coaches, look at the Capitals. They got an unknown named Spencer Carberry, who has been great. They're not even that talented. This guy has instilled in them a structured brand of hockey that right now is withstanding everything, including an onslaught from the Canadiens. So I'm not sure what his point was there. I don't care if there's established guys or not. There's always somebody out there that you can choose, whether it's Mike Sullivan on the rebound all those years ago, or an unknown named Dan Bylsma from Wilkes-Barre, or an unknown named Mike Tomlin, spent 1 year as the Vikings coordinator. There's always coaches. Your job to find them. And now that's Kyle Dubas's job. 412-928-9370. We'll continue with calls or clips coming up next, as it's been a big day. Can you imagine if Aaron Rodgers announced within like the next hour that he was coming here? Limits?
Be absolutely incrinculant, wouldn't it?
You've been unbelievable today on top of your job back there.
It's four nights of complete darkness.
Darkness. You've been incredible. I'll say that, Limits. You're like, I don't know what to compare you to. You're like, it's like you're running NASA back there. Everything
running
that's happening.
NASA.
Yeah. Every call that comes in, every clip that comes in. And then you pipe up with a strong opinion. And then you shoot down my opinion. It's incredible.
And holding, delaying some more. That one around in front, pumped out there by Hornquist, taken by Crosby. A shot, score! It's Letang! It's 2-1!
And then Crosby to Letang. Martin Jones not able to move right to left. But what an effort by Letang to find that soft little area and bank it in off the goaltender.
Almost.
Got it back to Schultz and a shot went wide. Rebound off the boards. They score! The Penguins have scored. It is Hornquist. A bounce off the boards was shaken in. And Hornquist, who has not played a lot in the game, made the most of the time that time. And it's 1-0.
Man, is that special? It really is. Was I at both of those games? I think I was only at one of those games. We were all watching them, though, weren't we? And I feel like it's appropriate to finish today with a tribute to Mike Sullivan. I really do. I mean, after all the critiques and the opinions and what actually went down and the comparisons to the Steelers and how things, you know, went south here for a pretty long time at the end for Mike Sullivan. Man, when you look up and you see those Stanley Cups, two of them belong to him. And I truly feel like the appropriate way to end this show is to thank Mike Sullivan for what he did here. and pay tribute to him. And I remember when he first got here, it was a disaster. I mean, like I said a couple times, Sid was at a low point in his career, it felt like. The stars weren't performing. The team at large was viewed as an underachieving bunch of whiners who never stopped complaining to officials and things like that during games. They couldn't score in the playoffs. They couldn't win in the playoffs anymore. And then along came Sully. And by the way, Sully came here to this organization because of Tom Fitzgerald. I got that story after they won their first cup with Sully. I asked people like Billy Guerin, Fitzgerald, and Rutherford, and Sully, how did you get here? Who hired you to go to Wilkes-Barre? Sully had a failed stint in Boston where he got fired. Then he hooked on with the Blackhawks as a consultant, a player development guy. And the Penguins hired him out of Chicago after they won a cup and hired him at Wilkes-Barre, clearly with an eye toward maybe hiring him to replace Mike Johnston, right? And Tommy Fitzgerald was that guy. That's what Bill Guerin told me. He said, Tommy's the first guy here who suggested Sully, at least to bring to our organization, and who had a long, long relationship with him. And then Johnston gets fired. Sullivan, to the surprise, I think, of a lot of people, is suddenly the Penguins coach. And I remember one of their first games I went to just as a fan sitting in the seats was a horrific, lifeless, I think it was 4-0 loss to the Bruins, maybe. Maybe the Predators, something like that. But pretty soon, man, Mike Sullivan made his mark here. He did. And he put the stars in their place and the team in its place. And the mantra was just play. In other words, shut up. And I think he even said that in so many words on the bench. You remember that clip from when he first got here to his own players when they were complaining about calls and things? Shut up. Just play. And that's what they did. And he instituted a speed system that overwhelmed people. And the Penguins wound up winning 2 straight Stanley Cups. Nobody could win 2 in a row anymore except when they came along. And a lot of that had to do with Mike Sullivan. A lot of it. They had reached a low point. And you remember the story of him, I think, meeting Sid and Chris Letang, maybe? Out for dinner. I think they may have seen each other impromptu also early in his tenure and just sat down and sort of mapped out the plan. And man, one game I'll never forget was in the second cup run. Game 7 in D.C. against the Capitals. They had blown out the Penguins in game 6. And I remember standing outside the Capitals locker room and they were celebrating like they won the cup. They hammered the Penguins in game 6. Penguins had to go back to DC for game 7. And Mike Sullivan's preparation for that game and the moves that he made for that game and in that game were the stuff of legend. So the day after they get blown out in game 6, I think that was a Monday night, if I recall. You have a day off, playoffs. Not a lot of teams are going to go through a rigorous practice. He put the Penguins through a 45-minute intense workout / tutorial on that Tuesday. He made multiple tactical changes, Ron Hainsey told me, who was a defenseman on that team. Although he wouldn't detail them for me. He reworked all his lines. He changed 2 of his defense pairs, and he put 2 new guys, Carter Rowney and Scott Wilson, in the lineup for game 7. All the lines, 2 of the defense pairs, 2 new guys in the lineup, and a 45-minute practice, and they go down and they play a great, great game 7 in D.C., and they win. And afterward, Matt Cullen tells me Mike Sullivan's one of the best X's and O's coaches I've ever played for. He said one of the very, very best. And the real message for the Penguins that night, without, you know, getting into the subtle tactical changes, was we're going there to win. We're not going to sit back. They'd sat back in a lot of that series and played rope-a-dope against the Capitals. And it worked a little bit, but only because Fleury was great in that series. And in game seven, it was, we're not going to sit back. We're going to play to win. See a chance to jump in a play. If you're a defenseman, jump in the play. We're going to have an aggressive mindset, play on our toes, Sullivan said. I'm looking at these quotes. I remember being in a coffee shop in D.C. the next morning writing this column. It's one of my favorite columns that I wrote, just my own personal memories, and one of the great wins in Penguins history to go into D.C. against a great team. Those are the two best teams in the NHL that year. And to beat that Capitals team that still hadn't won. They would the next year, but they still hadn't won. And Sully did it to them. Along with Fleury and the players, of course. But to me, that was one of Mike Sullivan's master strokes as Penguins coach. And he deserves to be remembered for what he was, and that's a champion. And it was time to move on. So good luck to Mike Sullivan, wherever he winds up. Always remember him as a two-time champion. Social media's biggest loser. Malzy brought to you by Awaken 180. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. What's Cooking brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
And the 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Thank you, Limits. I'll see you.
Thanks, Joe. Well said. And thanks to NBC and Sportsnet Canada for the